The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton, the SDR show. This week we have Rick Allen of Def Leppard and his wife Lauren Monroe. They come in, they perform live. We tell stories about Def Leppard, my mild obsession with the band, a jacket that I've had for 35 years, what they're doing now working with veterans. Really good show. Remember, we're doing this every Wednesday, every Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You could subscribe for free anywhere you're consuming a podcast, I assume where you're listening right now, or go to gasdigitalnetwork.com, use the code SDR, and if you were a Def Leppard fan, you could have heard this 5 days ago commercial-free and watched in HD instead of like now as a commoner. What are you doing? Plus, by the way, only now 1 year, 2 year memberships are available during a certain time window, and we'll let you know when those are available. But right now, use the code SDR, get 20% off. And let me shut up and let's do it right now. Rick Allen, Lauren Monroe, the SDR show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is a hit show. Show me the tit show. Please, someone walk the whole beat. I beat it's hookers and blow. It's art, it's art. You need to know the SDR show. Let's go.
Oh boy, it is the SDR show. Let me start off by saying this. Our coffee is crap.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
It's really bad coffee. It is the SDR show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll show. James Madden back in the studio with me.
It's a pleasure to be here. Did you just realize you're the owner of the, you're the proprietor? Well, that's that bad English.
Proprietor.
But that, you know, tomato, tomato, right, wrong. But you could change this.
Well, I'll say this. I seldom have black coffee on its own here just to try it. Like, I don't straight to the tap. It is terrible. I'm gonna say that.
This could be like Pulp Fiction. Bonnie buys the bad shit. You get the good stuff.
We'll have to figure it out. All right, so we're very happy to have these guests in the studio today. In delving into their world, I find everything fascinating. It's Lauren Monroe and Rick Allen. Thank you guys so much for coming into the studio.
You're welcome.
There's so much to get to. We're just going to get right into the top. We're going to jump right in, if you don't mind. There's a new album that came out from you not that long ago called Message from Aphrodite, third album, right? And you're doing a tour right now. But I want to start with a jump back because I find this fascinating on how you two met, okay? And feel free to correct me because I do research. I'm wrong a lot, and I apologize. So say that in advance. I'm a huge Def Leppard fan forever. In fact, I brought this.
Hold on.
At one point, Rick, I thought this was cool, okay? This is from
it's great.
35
it
years
cool,
ago.
I think that's worth money.
I think it's worth money too, right? And I've had this in my closet for 35 years. 35 years. I wore this when I was 17 or 18. I'm 52 now at a couple of Def Leppard shows and thought I was the coolest man on the planet. And I've kept this for that amount of time.
Well,
and
for keeping it, that makes you even cooler.
And by the way, I didn't want to bring it in the studio because it's too emotionally, it would be damaging if something happened to it. I have one of only 8 platinum records from the Greatest Hits records. Was given to me by your record label. All of you signed it. Why would you remember that, obviously? But I have one of only 8 that the Def Leppard Greatest Hits and the Motley Crue Greatest Hits from my old radio show, The Tour Bus.
Fantastic.
Which I think every member of Def Leppard did but you, and I won't hold it against you. But it was a great time. I was at that X. When X came out, you guys performed at Irving Plaza for just radio people. And
yes.
I was at that. And hard to believe that was 20 years ago.
Wow.
But prior to that, even more so, this is the story, I love this story because it talks about how people are really sometimes just meant to meet each other.
Mm-hmm.
You lose your arm.
Mm-hmm.
You are going for therapy. Mm-hmm. At the time, which it's still, I say this all the time on my health and wellness show, how batshit crazy it is that to this day, men needing mental help or mental fixing is considered taboo. Only in the past couple of years is it okay to be a man who isn't just saying, suck it up and deal with it, right? You meet a woman not only doing physical therapy, but helping with the trauma, the mental trauma of losing an arm, which is Lauren.
Yeah.
And that's how you guys initially connected. Is that right? Is that the story? To begin? Now you're married almost 20 years.
Yeah, it's 20. pretty much how. So 2000, right?
We met in 2000, and I do the healing arts and massage therapy, not physical therapy, but yes,
right.
Yes, very similar, and that's how.
Yeah, and it was,
we met.
And it was a mutual friend that introduced us, and he just said, you know, she's amazing, and then when we actually met before we did the therapy session.
Yeah, we met. I never saw Def Leppard, you know, play.
Oh, that's
or anything.
Wild. Wow. Did you know who they were, though?
I oddly enough, when High and Dry came out, I had a boyfriend at the time. I was a teenager. And he said, look, this band is awesome. And I looked at the pictures inside, and mm-hmm. I saw him. And I said, I think I know that guy. He's like, you don't know that guy. He's from England. And I'm like, I think I know him. And so somehow I must have remembered him from whatever, another life. But
then you kind of dropped off being a Def Leppard fan after High and Dry, right?
I did. When Def Leppard got popular, I was on to AC.
One of those things when you, like, the old, the band is popular, so now I don't like them.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, she was considered one of the hardcore, the original followers.
I was.
So,
but, you know.
The question I'd have to ask, and this is to you, Rick, is that, going back, so that is 20-something years ago,
uh-huh.
and someone proposes the idea of mental healing, and not like traditional, because, you know, it's still weird. Again, to bring in my other show, Good Sugar, we talk about this a lot, how the hard sciences, if you believe, you know, astronomy or chemistry, whatever, are all hundreds of years old, 500-600 years old. If you want to believe in mental therapy in this country, at best, it's 100 years old, so it's still a pretty new science, at least for Western culture, right? So when this idea is proposed to you, were you like, well, fuck that. That sounds too hippy-dippy, or were you already open to that kind of stuff at that point?
To be honest, I didn't really know about the energy medicine side of it. You know, that there was a potential for me to heal, you know, some of the wounds that you can't see.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was literally just going to be a massage session, and no disrespect to the health system in England, but at the time I had my accident in, you know, last day of 1984 leading into 1985, they were great at patching up the physical wounds, but not once did any kind of It, you know, if there was anything going on, you know, inside my head or with my brain or any emotional stuff, none of that really came up.
Right.
And I didn't really learn about that until I got together with Lauren.
Right. Which then transfers my question to you is, again, that it is such a relatively new science, or at least in this culture, in this country, where did you find your path towards that stuff, towards being in the mental wellness space?
Well, I started studying when I was really small. My parents had me meditating when I was 5.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew to understand a lot of the things that people seek, and then studied more and more modalities. And so I've always been on the path. To me, the mental health and spiritual health and physical health are all one thing.
It's, by the way, and I keep plugging my old show. We talk about this all the time, on how it's crazy that people don't realize how interconnected physical health, mental health, and, you know, emotional health, or all that stuff is—it's wild that we don't think about that. It is crazy. First of all, happy belated birthday! I think it was 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, something.
November 1st.
Happy birthday, man.
Yeah, pretty wild.
That's a week ago.
Yeah, something like that. I knew it was recently. Leave me alone. I do my research.
You're doing great. Do you want to plug your other podcast already?
You know what's funny? So this podcast does much better. It's a much bigger show, but this is very on brand with the other show. We're opening our. Are you guys in New York a lot or no?
Well, we used to be. We're starting to come back more. I'm from New York. My family's
so here. I helped build this company called Juice Press. It's like 100 locations in New York. And then that founder and I are opening up a new store called Good Sugar, which is a vegan, even though I'm not vegan, it is a vegan store on 3rd and 69th Street. So I'm plugging it. I'm sorry.
That's great news, because we're both vegan. We don't have pointed ears, but we're vegan.
I also, by the way, I have some incredible vegan food recipes. I cook for my a girl that I'm dating that's vegan. And Shannon, my producer, is vegan. How many meals have I made for you, Shannon, that are vegan and delicious, for God's sakes?
A lot. You're very good at it.
Yeah. I went to cooking school, and I ran a restaurant for years, so I'm not fucking around.
No, but she has to say that.
She has to say that. No.
She's a rebel, Rick.
She has to. I mean, I went like this to her. I'm like, watch your fucking mouth.
Let me combine this. So when I run mostly for like my head.
Me too.
All right? It makes me feel better. The other day, I'm running Randall's Island on the bridge. What record do I put on? High and Dry, baby.
Oh. Fantastic.
Look at how centered I am this morning. Look at this.
Yeah, you came in hot. Yeah.
Come on, baby.
So
coffee
now,
was kicking in, baby.
You guys are on tour together and you're doing some, which I will get into a little later, all the stuff you're doing for veterans and stuff like that, which is, it's a feel-good story, all of this. It makes me feel like, all right, there is some hope in the world in these crazy times, right? But let's talk about Message from Aphrodite, the third record, and that how this came about, because this is your third record. You are, and I couldn't be mistaken, this is maybe the first time you're actually doing a lot of dates with the band? Because you have a regular drummer.
Yeah, so we did dates in March, too. We came on, did an East Coast run.
And you just tell him, hit the bricks, my husband's coming in? Like, how does that work out?
Well, tonight we're double drumming.
Double drums now. No, the interesting thing is, during COVID, I could do everything. I could rehearse. We could play together. But we had no shows to play. So, that sort of gray area where it was like everything started opening back up again. Lauren asked me to work in a couple of drummers. And it was sort of a bittersweet experience because I realized all the knowledge that I was, that I was giving to this other drummer. It was basically me talking myself out of a job, But it's great. Now what we can do is we do double drummers. So if I'm available, I come in and play. Or as we are now, I'm available. So we were like, well, why don't we do double drums? Because it's
so you asked cool. her or she asked you to be in the group? I'm just curious of the dynamic.
I'm not sure.
He just expected that he would be.
Okay. No. I'm trying to understand.
No. Truth be known. I think I'm in the band because I play drums for free.
Oh, that works. That makes sense. And then also what's fascinating about it, because I don't think I've heard it in forever, you're doing acoustic drums. I'm used to you with triggers and, a far more elaborate system. Did you, because I know literally nothing about drums other than paradiddle, the one term I learned from the drummer of Twisted Sister who passed away. But did you have to relearn how to play that way? Or is that part, I don't know anything about it.
No. Acoustic drums were the thing that inspired me to play in the first place. After my accident, coming back into Def Leppard, it was easier for me to compete with loud guitars and all the different drum sounds I had to deal with. Just using the electronic drums.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, I didn't have to relearn how to play with one arm. There was a realization that the information was in my head. And then I experienced a little bit of my left hand coming out in my right hand, my left leg, and my right leg. It was almost like an ancient response.
Wow.
I was always very right-footed when I kicked a soccer ball. And then when I finally got out there and started kicking a ball around, I realized that I could kick one almost as well with my left leg.
Were you left-handed?
Yeah. No, I was right-handed.
You were right-handed.
Very okay. right-handed.
Okay, okay.
So that's why it was unusual for me to experience, a really proficient left foot.
Wow, that's why. And then one last stupid question on it that I'm curious about. Then I want to get into this two songs specifically that jumped out on the record. When you lost your arm, was there ever, did the other guys talk about maybe auditioning other drummers, or that was never even a question?
It was never even a question. We brought in a guy called Jeff Rich. He was playing with a band called Status Quo at the time. And that was really a safety net, him playing acoustic drums, me playing the electronic drums, because electronic drums at that point were a bit of an unknown quantity.
Right.
So we just wanted to cover all bases. But after a few shows, I kind of realized that I could do it myself.
And did you feel there was a point where you're like, oh yeah, I'm just as good now, if not better? There was a point when that happened, when you realized this?
I played more deliberately and more simple, but there was a confidence that I started to experience with one arm that I remember experiencing with two.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
It
that's
was there.
Wild. Okay. So now to get into the new record, the song that jumped out of me, because I, as a half Syrian man, feel it has a Middle Eastern vibe. Voice of course. Is that
Void of course.
Void of course. Feels Middle Eastern-y to me. Am I crazy to say that? Or you could disagree. What do I know?
I think it's the cello intro you're probably
thinking
about.
Yeah, it definitely feels like it. It feels very Middle Eastern-y.
Well, we wanted to go... I talked to our
Are you shitting player. On the fact that I'm Middle Eastern?
No, but the way that you set up as a Syrian, you like basically play with your nipples. It's the weirdest.
That's
who
Syrian.
Introduces Syrian
Syrians
that
do that. Syrians do that. No, good.
I mean, that's the wildest thing ever. You know,
as a Syrian, that's what we do.
What if you were Persian? Would you do this? I mean, where do you go next?
No, then Dream Again is country. Dream Again feels country. So to me, one, I was like, oh, these are very different energies on the same record, and I'm sure that was intentional.
It was what it was. I like to write in different styles. I don't really censor myself. So, but Void, of course, does have that cello intro that we wanted to.
And then the Middle Eastern
something.
Drums also.
It has a little bit of that. I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
James.
Yeah. No, baby, I'm not going to gaslight you. You're doing great. It's wonderful.
The way Lauren explained it to me is sometimes songs come through that are really out of character, but it's a great song, mm-hmm. So why not bring it to fruition? You know,
it was my favorite track on the record, by the way.
That's cool.
The ones I went through, I was like, oh, that's one I re-listened to.
Mm-hmm.
I
really that's cool.
Because of my Middle Eastern
there story. It is. Stay on brand, Ralph. Stay on brand. When a bit hits, keep running it.
So you started playing at a very young age. You were like 6 when you got into music, right? Yeah. That's a crazy young age to do that. How did that? Is that part of the teachings of meditation and stuff with your family? Hey, let's also see if you could learn an instrument, or how did that come about?
My grandfather played and gave me a little guitar, and then I learned a few chords and I started writing. So
do you feel any unnecessary pressure when you're writing songs to present them to him to see if he thinks that they cut mustard enough or whatnot, or is it two separate entities and complete?
No, if I have an idea, I'll show him. Usually I write on my iPhone and put together a little thing and I'll show him
sometimes I don't get it at first, but then when she starts to flesh it out with her producer, then it's like, wow, this is a great idea. But she writes all the time. It's crazy.
Do you feel inspiration from her to start writing more yourself because she's writing so often?
Absolutely.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Have there been songs on the record that you wrote together, or is it completely separate entities?
Completely separate. We did write
first record.
We had a we released a chant for healing together, and we co-wrote that, and it's got, I guess, a million streams on it now. People really like it for yoga. They use it for yoga and for sleep, and we did that together.
So let's now get into that a little bit, because I know we're going to have the band come in and perform live too, but this was... I don't know. I think this started back in 2001 or so, the drum circle stuff. Is that right? When you guys started doing that?
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
That's when we started the foundation.
Right. The Raven Drum Foundation. Right. And this is fascinating because which shouldn't be shocking to anybody, that music makes people feel better. Mm-hmm. Shocking. Right. But drumming, the act of drumming, makes people feel connected to rhythm and feeling better and being. And you at some point, I think you started initially working with kids. And then transferred into working with veterans and stuff like that. Am I right?
Started with special needs kids and kids in the juvenile detention center and cancer, kids surviving cancer in the hospital.
And then 2006, I went and visited Walter Reed Army Medical Center.
Mm-hmm.
It was very emotional. I saw a lot of suffering. And then we discussed it and... You know, we were like, we have to concentrate more on our veterans. You know, there's a lot of suffering going on.
And first responders, too.
Yeah. So.
And that's what the Raven Drum Foundation focuses on now. Almost after that Walter Reed experience was the pivot towards really focusing on veterans and first responders.
Yeah. Right. And suicide prevention.
And then, am I right that a lot of your performances, you can like buy a ticket for a vet? Am I right with
that? Yes, you can buy a ticket for a veteran to have a veteran come, because the shows are very much about empowerment. It's a lot of teaching in there. We do complementary medicine. We pair up with drumming, and we want to teach people that, you know, if pharmaceuticals and traditional counseling isn't working for you, there's a lot of other things you can supplement with, like equine therapy and yoga and meditation and music, drumming. people don't know about that, so we're spreading the word.
It is wild. And by the way, James was talking about this earlier. He runs. I got into running, right? I look at running as my sort of my meditation because it's like no one's bothering me. Like my phone's off and it's I'm in the moment, which
present.
Is so many people don't do in the moment, you know? And I do actually meditate every morning, right? I only do 5 minutes. I'm not great, but I'm starting, you know? And the quote someone said that I really liked is that you're not going to notice the difference when you meditate, but you'll notice the difference when you stop.
Yeah,
and I really agree. Wow. I could not agree more with that. I really did notice that because there was, when I was in Iceland, I wasn't able to for like a few days, and I noticed that I was like a little edgy, like a little easily irritated.
I used to meditate, and then when I started roommates, they bought me like a bass. And I know it sounds crazy, but probably not with everything you're saying. I now play bass every day before like I leave to go do stand up, and it just. I just lose myself.
James, I'll start with scales. Have a bass player. Stop for such a
Yeah, I'm auditioning. Boy, I wait to hear my scales. They're brutal, everybody. You're doing good in there. But I notice when I go on the road, if I don't play an instrument, there's a chance I'm not as, I don't think I'm as good. So then I bought like one of those guitar lalies, which he teases me about, and then it still doesn't fit. He gave me a wink. I take that as a positive. So shove it up your chooch there, my friend.
I think...
moving meditation.
Music is a classic. Well, it's a great way to be in the moment.
Yes.
Because as you suggest, you lose yourself.
Yeah.
You're not thinking about what's for dinner. You're
right.
Not
it's
thinking
amazing.
About what you could have done better.
Also, because I am a giant. I'm almost 6'6", right? When I run, I have a real fear of falling. Because if I fall, I am not getting back up. So I'm really focused on where is my next step going, and that's all I think about, because I know, by the way, Shannon nothing would make her happier if she heard that I fell.
So one foot in front of the other,
and mentally, like literally that's what I'm doing. And I think it's done so much. I've realized, and I started running at 50, I'm 52, right? So in 2 years now I've run half marathons and stuff, and it changed my entire outlook on life. I feel so much better every day.
That's cool.
And I've also helped. While I get 40% of the people make fun of me online for posting my runs, maybe 45%, but 55% are people that like, now they run. Now they are like, it's they the see best. Me posting on a -5 degree weather day that I just got back in from a run. And they're like, well, God damn it. Now I guess I got to go do something if he went and did that.
That's inspiring.
I try. Not as inspiring as you guys. You guys are doing a lot more work than I am, that's for sure. This is what we're going to bring the band in and perform live too, but I want to ask this because it's wild. As the drummer of Def Leppard for a billion years, I think it's 40-something years, whatever the hell it is, right?
Yeah, I joined
you were 15,
in
right?
1978 when
that's
I was...
crazy.
Wow.
Just before my 15th birthday.
Right, that's wild.
I was born in 1978.
Oh, really?
Look at this.
69.
This is amazing.
69.
You look great. You realize this, right? You look better than I do.
Yeah, well, that's
this
not
is
hard,
insanity.
James. That is not hard.
I need to run more, eat vegan food.
How long have you guys been vegan? Just before I ask that question.
Probably 4 or 5 years.
No, a vegan for 11 years, vegetarian for like 30.
Wow.
I was 21.
Yeah, we both. Since I was 25,
No, it was weird. I started to see the devastation, sort of symbolically the devastation that I was leaving in my wake.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't want to do that anymore. So I just stopped. I stopped with eating animals.
I will say that I far more get the ethical than the health, and only because I think there are people who are eating deep fried tofu and think they're doing something good for their body, right?
You can eat really badly, poorly, whether you're vegan, vegetarian, you name it.
Yeah,
you
know? So that I'm saying, that's the problem with like most vegan restaurants. They're serving deep fried tofu burgers over some sugary sauce.
Food.
And it's better to have a salad with chicken if you're gonna do one of those for your body, right? But I get the ethical side of it for sure. You know, I'm too passionate. It's hard for me to do. I try to just eat more vegetables. That's the
best
thing
great.
I can do.
That's more like a Mediterranean diet where, you know, there's smaller portions of meat, smaller portions of fish, but heavy on the greens.
Right. By the way, James, we talk about this a lot on my other show.
Oh, do you have another podcast? I heard rumor and innuendo that you had another show. The word on the street, when I walked down First Avenue.
I got great at making what I call like mock meals, where it tastes like the thing. Like I made vegetarian tuna from watermelon. You know, I've made vegan cheeses and I've done some really creative shit that you can do just by tweaking the ingredients a little bit.
You need to cook when we come back.
Oh yeah, we'll do it. I'll show. Yeah,
I agree. Right.
Well, let's have it. We should do this. You ready? Next time you come back, we'll have a vegan throwdown. You tell me what you make good, and I'll make it better.
All right, Big Shot.
How about that shit?
Vegan pissing contest. Ralph Sutton. That's your next show.
All right, before we go any further, you know these guys better than anyone, probably better than I do. We're talking about Yo Kratom, home of the $60 kilo. YoKratom.com has your favorite Kratom strains, amazing customer service, and you won't find better prices anywhere. If you're over the age of 21 and you're into Kratom, head on over to YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo, and the official sponsor of the SDR show. You know Shannon loves it, you know Jay loves it, and it's time for you to check it out as well if you're a fan of Kratom. There's nowhere else to go other than YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. All right, let's get back into it. All right, so now to go back to what I was going to ask you was, I mean, Def Leppard plays goddamn arenas, like, you know, for years. I don't know how many years.
I just saw you in a football stadium, baseball stadium.
You just did
the
crazy Motley tour. Like, it's nuts, right? But now you're doing these intimate shows, mm-hmm. right, which is, you know, acoustic and more connected directly to an audience versus a massive wall of sound. Take the money out of it. Take that part out of it. Which do you prefer as a performer, to do the massive, everyone singing every line energy, or the connection that you get when it's an intimate audience?
I enjoy both.
It's not a fair answer.
He's a professional. You know, he's got to say the right thing.
No, I do. I do.
I think the money was the same regardless of which one you did.
Who wouldn't? I mean, playing in front of those giant audiences is really, I mean, it's really a once in a lifetime. And how many people are ever going to get to do that? But then playing with Lauren, it's almost like I'm more self-conscious the closer I am to the audience.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the way that Lauren presents the show with the storytelling and the songs and, you know, just the whole vibe in the venue, I really enjoy that part of it as well,
yeah.
because you feel a direct connection to the people that are sitting right there, you know?
It was wild when I was at that X show for Def Leppard, which is hilarious, because that was like the big, like, I don't want to say comeback album, but that album was like the first one that had a big hit in years. It's over 20 years ago now.
I know.
And that was at Irving Plaza. We only was like maybe 1,800 people there, which for Def Leppard is a tiny little venue. I don't think I heard a word you guys said because everyone screamed yeah. every line to every song. And it was fun to be there, but it was like, I want to fucking hear these guys sing. Like,
no,
I
know.
It's
like being at a Beatles show.
Right. I don't know if it's a true story where they unplugged they know weren't even playing because there was so much noise. They were faking it. That's like a myth. I don't know if it's true or not.
I don't know.
It's wild though. But that's got to feel, as I'm saying, there's got to be a disconnect there at one point because everyone's singing everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, trying to get as loud as the crowd. That's the game with Def Leppard. It's because, as you suggest, everybody's singing them.
Right, and kudos to you guys. 20 years together in the world of rock and roll is rare as shit. That's pretty wild.
That's wild.
And every song on your album, so much of them are about, especially I think the last album, a lot about love and relationships. I imagine it's all from the heart, so it's a beautiful thing to see. It's really wild. It's very... unique in this world, for sure, especially in the rock world. All right, so we're going to have the band come in and do a song.
Great.
And then we're going to maybe ask a few more questions and wrap this baby up. Does that make sense, James?
This is great. Good. This is exciting.
Yeah, it's wild. Good afternoon. We have royalty in the studio.
This is crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
The first video I ever saw. So I was poor, but my aunt, so we didn't have cable till late. We had to bootleg it. We went to my aunt's. And all the adults would talk, and they go, go in that room and watch that fancy MTV. I've been waiting years to see MTV. Photograph, first video ever seen, I want that played on my deathbed.
Yeah. They say, by the way, I don't know if it's true, but Photograph supposedly the first concept video. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what they say, where it was the first video that wasn't just a band playing.
Dude in a trench coat.
There was like a loose story there.
No, and that could be the case, but it's like they say, if you remember the 80s, you weren't there.
Well, I was five, so I remember.
And also, by the way, your the people in your band are good pedigree. I mean, one of them is John Ginty is from Citizen Cope. Is that right?
He's playing with Citizen Cope now. Yeah, he's played with the Dixie Chicks. But he's played on the album. And, he's and, not touring.
I know, not on touring, but also yeah. Doug was in with John Mayer, right?
I mean, Doug Pettibone yeah. played for David Bowie.
That's pretty cool. You guys are not fucking around. No. Did you introduce him? How did you find
my
these
producer
people?
To introduce
oh,
me to
Jim Scott.
Guys. Yeah.
Oh, Jim. Yeah, yeah. Jim Scott has worked.
He knows everybody.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to have the band come in. They're going to do a song, and then we'll wrap this baby up.
I love it.
All right, cool.
I'm gonna get out, let the guys set up, and then...
Okay, sounds good.
Okay.
This is great.
One, two, three, four. In the dream, open the gate, looking for the sun going down asleep. My fingers slowly trace the way the rains reach. I listen for an echo in you. I will be your face here now. In the middle of low, your dream is truly safe here now, here now. But if you want, you can hide now. If you want, you can hide right here in the middle of love. If there's a way, you can believe this now. In this sacred place, listen to the moon fall, the moon fall. Mind is now erased when you hear the moon fall sleep. But if you want, you can hide now. If you want, you can hide right here in the middle of love. If there's a way, you can believe this now. If you want, you can try right here in the middle of love. If you care, you can believe this now. If you want, you can hide now. If you want, you can hide right here in the middle of love. If there's a way, you can believe this now. If you want, you can try right here in the middle of love. Open your eyes and believe this now. If you want, you can try right here in the middle of love. Open your eyes and believe this now.
All right, that was incredible performance. It was Lauren Monroe's band with Tommy Brown, Dylan Rose, some dude on the shake. I don't know who the hell that
Tammy
was.
Tammy Brown.
Did I say that? I said Tammy Brown.
Tammy. That's good. No, it must be your accent.
Did I say Tammy Brown?
Excellent.
He just butchered a word over there. It's unbelievable.
Oh, Bank Camaro?
Bank Camaro. I swear to God, you said like Bank Marrow.
I thought she said Bank Marrow.
Bank Marrow. I'm like, what the hell I is never heard you of talking Bank about? Bank Marrow. I'm but, stealing it.
By
that's
the
my
way,
band.
To get back to it, it sounded incredible. And man, she could sing. Again, I don't know who that dude was on the shaker, but he was his timing was off, I felt.
I thought it was next level. I thought it was the best shaking I've seen since 87.
Did you feel like something was off with it? Am I alone?
I guess so. It's early.
All right. So I want to get into a couple other things before we wrap. Tell me about this 12 drummers thing that you guys are doing.
Well, I'll let you finish, but basically we rallied a lot of Rick's friends and we put the word out, and we have amazing drummers that are helping to support veterans and suicide prevention, and we're auctioning a lot of their memorabilia. We started it last year. This year's our second year. And it started with Rick calling Matt Sorum.
Yeah. And Matt, he's a master cat wrangler or musician wrangler, and knows pretty much everybody in the business, and helped get all these world-class drummers together. I've known Todd Sesherman from Styx for forever. I've known Matt forever. Everybody else came along. It was fantastic.
And do the 12 drummers swap out? Are you limited to 12? Or like, where does that...
We have like more than now. We have like 18. Brad Wilkes just came on board. And now we have donations from... there's so many.
Oh, Godsmack.
Shannon Larkin.
Shannon Larkin, who's been on the show. Yeah, he's cool.
Shannon's amazing. And, Denny Sewell... I don't know if you know any of Alvin Taylor. There's all like classic drummers that play with everybody. And
Franklin Vanderbilt with
Lenny Kravitz.
It was Sorum that got everyone together, or did you make some calls as well?
Between us. You know,
who said no is what I want to know.
Nobody. That's the interesting thing. It was my fear of rejection. And Matt just said, if you can get over that, then you can do anything.
Right.
So it was great advice. And I just went around. I asked everybody. Realized how much respect there was in the drumming community for me, and you know what I've been through.
Was that a surprise to you?
Isn't that weird?
That's weird. He definitely sounded like you're like, and there was like for some reason some respect for me. I mean, that's weird that you would feel that way.
It's my life experience. Let's
I feel people don't
way.
Have enough respect for me. Is how I look at it.
but
if
now,
they listen to the other podcast, they would.
No, I know. But now I'm less reluctant to ask because I realize the drumming community, they all just say yes.
We had a Stuart Copeland.
Another person that's involved.
Yeah, Stuart Copeland.
Yeah, Stuart Copeland.
You mean Bank Marrow?
Stuart Copeland. And he talked about how drummers, the term he used was brothers of the stick, where they look at it differently than guitarists or singers who seem to always be in competition with each other. Mm-hmm. Drummers have more of a brotherhood. Would you agree with that?
I 100% Excellent. Agree with that. Okay. Yeah, we do. We just have something unique. And, we're basically driving the band. Take the drummer away, the whole thing falls apart.
That's true. I'm trying to think of bands without drummers. I mean, is there any rock bands without drummers?
I mean, technically, in the rock band. I mean, some people, but drum machine. Right.
They probably fired a lot of drummers.
That's true too. Yeah.
But all these drummers really care about veterans and suicide prevention. That's another reason
Which is
why.
Great.
Yeah.
And where do they? Is it through Raven Drums where you can find everything about it? It's just Raven Drum Foundation will bring up the 12 drummer stuff and all the other stuff.
RavenDrumFoundation.org, or just go right to 12drummersdrumming.org.
I saw some video of everyone drumming, and it's like a wall of sound that's pretty wild.
Going to be aired in over 1,000 VA hospitals throughout the country through our partners with Musicians on Call, and then it'll be available. We'll be having private screenings of it and some other fun stuff I can't talk about. But
and that starts on Veterans Day, and that whole thing runs for a month, right?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
When the rest of the guys in Def Leppard see you doing all this beautiful work in charity and all these other events, do you look at them and say, guys, get your shit together? Start.
No, I mean, everybody gets involved in their own, you know, what they're passionate about. Mm-hmm. And I think it's great, you know, when we're in this position where we can help.
Right. People. That's what's amazing about it is that that you are able to, and you are, where there's a lot of people who are able to and they don't. You know, which is, and it's also how little things can make such a big difference.
It's the boomerang effect. You know, if you feel shitty, do something good for somebody else, and all of a sudden you feel great.
Right.
You know, if you be of service, and you know, hey presto.
Right, for sure. By the way, this is such a personal but weird story. I was eating a bagel sandwich in the park on Sunday, right? And it was like 6 a.m. I was the only dude there, right? It's 6 a.m. And a homeless guy comes and sits next to me, like two chairs down. And he says, I'm sorry, man, do you have any money or anything? And I didn't have any money. I just had my phone. I just paid for my...
And the bagel.
Food. I had my food. I paid with the phone to get the bagel. I said, I don't have any money, but you can have half my bagel if you want it, right? And his response was, are you sure you're not going to be hungry?
Oh.
And it fucking broke my heart that he cared that I was going to still be like, no, dude, just take it. Please take it.
I was going to ask if it was gluten free.
Yeah. Well, then I went like, I went like this. I said, let me see. And I went like this. Pa-pow! No, I gave him my food and he was very happy. And he ate it. Was so happy. Just, like, it was crazy to me that he was worried that I was going to still be hungry.
Do you remember that guy in Boston time?
Boston Common. That was really powerful when he realized how many had one arm.
Yeah, he was missing a finger. He was telling us about how it froze because they, you know, oftentimes on the East Coast, homeless people, they just, their limbs freeze. Right. And so he lost a couple of fingers and he was asking for money and telling us his story and we were listening and we gave him some money. And then as we were walking away, he saw and he started crying, saying, I'm so sorry. I would never take your money. You're worse than I am. And we were just so... You know, our hearts just opened.
That's wild.
We have to remember that people on the street are human beings. Yeah. And
they have empathy. Yeah.
They have more empathy than most of us.
Right, that's for sure. It is wild. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So we do a thing on the show. And I mean, we got to do it because we do it with every... We've been on the air now. How many years, Shannon? 8 years? 7 years?
7, 8 years, yeah.
7, 8 years. And we've had crazy guests on the show, as you know, everyone from that you can think of, from Mark Cuban to Neil deGrasse Tyson to every rock star almost I've ever wanted to talk to. Now that finally Rick has finally decided to grace the stage, and we do a thing. It's called the first, where we ask about your first experience with three things.
We heard about.
Okay,
this.
Just want to make sure because I know sometimes it just and everyone has answered it since the dawn of time. So I have to ask. You could choose. To say I don't want to answer, and I will not be upset, but I have to ask.
Can I volunteer something?
Yeah.
We didn't work this out. If you're uncomfortable, you can defer. I'll give mine. I've never given mine. I'll give mine. If you need to defer, your boy is here, baby.
I don't know why he did that.
I'm coming off the bench.
Giving him an opting out.
Oh, we've never heard James's first.
This is like soccer. I'm coming to the 75th minute.
I never heard James's either. That is weird. All right.
That's very generous.
Hit the first, Shannon.
The first time...
All right, the name of the show is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. We've asked everybody this since the dawn of time. We start with rock and roll. We mean the first concert you went to, ideally on your own volition, not like you're six and someone said, we're going to the show. Somewhere you want to go to, and hopefully something that we know, not some local band we've never heard of. We'll start with you, Lauren. Def Leppard. No, I know it's not that.
No, it was Tom Petty.
Oh, that's a good one.
Bravo. My hero at Saratoga Performing Arts Center.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's cool. That's really nice. How old were you?
I was the summer before my 14th birthday.
Wow, so you were already in music. You were playing guitar at an early age, so you already were inspired by him, and that's why you wanted
to do that. When I saw him, I was like, I want to do that.
Oh, that's cool. That's always nice when you hear that. That's a good story. By the way, when we had Phil on the show, he told the story that boggles my mind. His first concert was Deep Purple, and then he's on the back cover of the Deep Purple live record, and you could clearly see 14-year-old Phil like this.
Oh, wow.
So he has a documentation of his first concert, which is wild.
So it's undeniable.
Yeah. And the, but you didn't. I just taught you something about a bandmate. Go ahead. You turn. Your turn.
I actually went to my first concert, real concert, where it was my choice to go. It was before I really discovered rock music or discovered playing drums at all. Do you remember the Tramps?
I remember the name. Sure, that's a like an R&B band, right?
Yeah, yeah. That was my first concert experience. It was fantastic. First time I'd ever seen two drummers and two bass players, which would be a disaster in our band. Well, we have two drummers, but two bass players.
That's a lot going
was
on.
Leatherwolf had the triple axe attack. Do you remember that?
No.
They had three guitarists. It was ridiculous. And now the first drug you ever did after weed, unless weed wasn't your first drug, because most people, weed is the first drug. So if it wasn't that, but if it was, the one you did after weed.
Probably mushrooms.
Mushrooms. Mm-hmm. Okay. And did we like it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a big, fun. There's a lot of movement now for, what is it, psilocybin? Is that right? That is helping people.
Depression.
Depression. Yeah.
Microdosing.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny you should say that because this, James, I'm sorry, cover your ears for a second. On my other show, we had this guy who was runs Four Sigmatic, which is a big mushroom company, and they're big advocates of all the health benefits of mushrooms. He believes you shouldn't microdose. You should do a full dose with intention as opposed to microdosing. But I don't know what's right or what's wrong.
I wouldn't necessarily disagree with that. I think to blow the doors off, I think you need to do what I would call a heroic dose.
Heroic.
So how old are you with the mushrooms?
Probably around same age. Same 14. Age,
bro. That's a big year for you. And you?
What a big year.
Well, I can't actually remember the first time, but I do remember my first drum teacher, who a guy called Kenny Slade. He played with Joe Cocker.
Okay, that's cool.
Who's from my hometown or close to my hometown of Sheffield. And he would bring these things called dodos. Now, dodos, they were just really strong in caffeine.
Okay.
So what we would do is we'd set two drum kits up, do a handful of dodos, and then play until we couldn't play anymore.
Really? Yeah. I never even heard of it. It's just a high dose of caffeine, like a super dose?
Super doses of caffeine, and then
dodo drums.
Dodo drums.
I've never heard of that. That's wild.
and then shrooms came into the picture because they grew wild everywhere I lived. I was surrounded by sheep and, you know, like farmer's fields and this, that, and the other. So as long as you knew which ones to pick, you were cool.
While we're taping this, so it was a week ago from when we're taping this, I've never done any drugs in my life. And once a year, I try a drug on the show. And last week, I did Whippets with TJ Miller, the comedian, and that was pretty wild. I didn't hate them, but they're not healthy. They're just not good. I do one drug a year, never done anything else. All right, so now we go to first time you had sex.
Really not very interesting, but just no.
Was it 14 also? Because
no, no, I was.
Rare we get the triple.
I was almost 19.
19, yeah. Okay. That's pretty cool. And was it a boyfriend or was it a one-off thing?
No, we were together for a year. Okay, and it was pretty, nice. You know, pedestrian.
Right, fair enough. So. And you, because, I mean, you were in Def Leppard starting at 15. I'm sure this is an early age, or am I wrong?
Before that, I mean, I'm not going to get into the details of it.
I don't need pictures.
No. But
I don't need pictures.
I've got to be careful here because it was my best friend's, well, soon to be ex-friend, his older sister.
Really?
Yes.
She seduced you.
Something like that.
That's cool.
And to this day, he doesn't know about it. But obviously,
really?
That's why I said soon to be ex-friend.
Wow. Wow. Tell your secrets to Rick Allen going forward. Jesus
Christ. Yeah. It's pretty good. You took it as long.
That's pretty wild.
I would be honored if I mean, seriously. If my, I don't have a sister. I don't know my real dad. I probably have halves all over the place. But, like, if I found out that my older sister sired your virginity, are you out of your goddamn mind? First of all, I would only run to Def Leppard. I'm throwing on through the night the next time. I'm doing them all. I mean, this would be amazing. Wow, really I hope excited. I have a sibling.
You got really excited about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I get excited about a lot of things, baby. I'm Mr. Hype.
Also, congratulations. The Def Leppard album, which came out a few months, like last year, Diamond Star Halos, another number one record. I mean, it's got to be annoying already at this point. It's like, yeah, of course it's going to do well. It's wild.
It's fantastic, especially this far into our career.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's wild. And then, by the way, so I was saying this, and Sean, I don't know if you have the audio. So on my old radio show, it was called The Tour Bus. We were on about 100 stations, interviewed a lot of Def Leppard over the years, every band of that ilk that you could think of. And I pulled this is probably a 20-year-old drop from Joe Elliott that I thought would be funny to play as the last thing before we do our plugs. All right, so this is from my old radio show, The Tour Bus. This audio is probably 25 years old.
Hi, this is Joe Elliott from Def Leppard, and it is true, Rick Allen does have the biggest penis in the band. You are listening to The Tour Bus.
I don't know why he said it, but that's what he said.
Well, one of my aliases for, you know, for checking into hotels was Mr. T. Ripod.
Oh,
so I always tell people, yeah, one arm and three legs.
There we go. That's
but it's not true.
Can I ask a question?
It was an unprovoked ID.
It looks like a penis, but much smaller.
Can I ask a question? T-Ripod, is that Syrian?
That is Syrian.
All back, baby!
All back to,
okay. I'm good!
So the album Message from Aphrodite is out now. The Raven Drum Foundation, the 12 Drums Drumming.
You 12 can go Drummers to the Drumming.
Website as well. There is a show, as we're doing this live tonight at the City Winery Loft Space, but there's a couple dates left, I think, that you guys are doing that we could get into, right? That you go there and find out all that information. Is there anything else you guys want to plug before we go around the room and do plugs?
Earplugs.
Earplugs.
I think we're, well, I think everything? We're great. We're just,
yeah, I think you nailed the old.
Well, that makes me very proud. James, your plugs.
The James Mattern on Instagram and the YouTubes. Watch my special, The Check Spot. Stream my album, The Check Spot, on Spotify. Oh, man, if you're in the Vegas area, your boy's coming home December 19th through Christmas, the 25th. I'll be at the Comedy Cellar at Rio. And then December 31st, I'm with Chris DiStefano, baby, at the Paramount in Long Island. Mad love, Big Steve, we miss you. All right, that's my plug.
I feel like we need a separate podcast just for your plugs.
Really,
Shannon.
Maybe I should go on your
plugs. They had no extra plugs. Shannon, your plugs.
You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. We have all sorts of interesting guests come on, and they tell their own personal experiences about a bad date they've been on, a time they've been in a street fight, and an experience with the paranormal.
Now, don't acknowledge this until I get this question out, and then we're going to wrap. So, the question is, do you believe in ghosts? But you can't say anything until we all get our vibe in. I'm saying absolutely on both.
This
James?
Is the easiest layup in the history of the show of double yes.
Shannon?
I will say yes, and it's specifically because of what Lauren said before. And if I interpreted it correctly, what she said was when she saw his picture that she recognized him. But it's not recognizing him from anything. It's just that she knew that she like knew his soul.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, yes.
That's how I picked that up on as well. So do you believe in ghosts?
I am a ghost.
I guess I'll take that as a yes. And you?
I certainly do.
Okay, there we go.
So this was the easiest.
That was a layup. And then also, by the way, I think Def Leppard has the Motley Crue Poison. You're doing more dates with them through June or July of next year, something ridiculous like that?
Yes, we are. But before that, we'll be heading off to south of the border. So so there's a lot more shows to go.
It's really wild. Congratulations. My other podcast, by the way. It's called The Good Sugar Podcast. Comes out every Monday. We are killing it. It's in the top 100 on iTunes, and our store is opening up on 3rd and 69th Street, I think before the end of the month.
My hood, baby.
And then follow me over at I Am Ralph Sutton. Thank you guys so much for coming on. It's an honor to have you here. I closed my thing. What was the name of that song? The Middle Eastern one. It's called Void.
Of course.
We're going to add that to the playlist because we add a song to the playlist every week. TheSDRShow.com/playlist. Thank you very much. A round of applause. It was great
fantastic.
To have you guys. See you next time on the SDR Show.
Fantastic. Thank you.
me. You must be so happy. If you could cry, come back to me. Save me, yeah.
You've been listening to the SDR Show.